Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code DNVR and new customers can bet just $5 on any college football team and get a $200 free bet instantly, win or lose. That's with promo code DNVR only on DraftKings Sportsbook. Well, welcome in. I am Susie Hunter. And look, we got a Susie show today. Patrick has a well-deserved day off. It has been a long season. We need our time. I'm joined by super producer Kale. Say what's up.
What's up?
What's up? He's here. I love it. We're here in the studio. We're going to have such a good show for you today. We're going to recap the Atlanta series. We are going to talk to Jeff Dooley about what we've seen from Michael Tolley and what we can expect from him going forward. But we're also going to talk about Zach Veen a bunch. He is just an instant star out in Hartford right now. We're going to get through some MLB headlines. And I interviewed my dad. So my dad is an immigrant and fell in love with baseball when he got to America. So I thought it would be fun to chat with him. So that is the show that we have going on. But first, let's talk about the game last night in Atlanta, a 3-0 loss to the Braves. The Rockies are now 56-76, so back twenty games under 500. And Chad Kuhl was not his coolest, but he wasn't that bad. So we got 4 2/3 innings pitched, but those 3 earned runs, 1 walk, not so great. 7 strikeouts, not as many as Spencer Strider had, but we'll get to that in a second. But yeah, that 5th inning for Chad Kuhl was really where things kind of fell apart. He allowed 3 runs on 5 hits, including 2 homers. So that was kind of the end of his time there. But yeah, Spencer Strider is an MLB headline right now. He was on the mound for the Braves last night. 8 innings pitched, no earned runs, 16 strikeouts. So guess what? That is a record. That is a record. So he is making a lot of noise, a lot of news right now. 106 pitches. But yeah, those 13 strikeouts are a Braves record for a 9-inning game. He allowed just 2 hits in his 8 innings pitched. So John Smoltz was the last record holder for Atlanta with 15 strikeouts. That was all the way back in 2005. So yeah, pretty exciting stuff if you're a Braves fan. But yeah, young talent on display last night too. Austin Riley and rookie Michael Harris II hit solo homers. So that was Atlanta. Rockies lost the series. They took one game, lost the other two. But I will say, just overall, a series note, Mets fans were very excited about the Rockies beating the Braves the other night because they're neck and neck at the top of that division right now. So we got a lot of love on Twitter from Mets fans, and that was very nice of them. So yeah, what can we say, Kale? What can we say? Did you watch the game last night?
I watched the first half with you and your dad sitting around a table. It was lovely, except for the fact that the Rockies didn't really do anything.
It was exactly. They did nothing. There was nothing going on in that game for the Rockies. oh my gosh. What a night. All right. So instead of looking back at the past, yesterday, we're going to look forward to the future. We talked to Jeff Dooley about all the great things happening in Hartford. And we had such a great talk. I've known Jeff Dooley for such a long time. So it's always a great chance to, I always love the chance to interview him. So anyway, Kale, let's get that Jeff Dooley interview rolling. Thank you.
All right, we are joined by the voice of the Hartford Yard Goats, Jeff Dooley. Now, usually when we have a prospect that has just been called up or about to be called up, you know, we talk to Josh Souchon because he's seen them the most and most recently. But that is not the case here, I feel like, because you have seen so much Michael Tolley in the past couple of seasons. And now all of a sudden, here he is, a major leaguer, number 44 from the Yard Goats, right?
Yeah, absolutely. 44. It's amazing. So many guys going through and 5 from last year's club, 1 from this year's club. So it is really cool. But he's so deserving, Susie. 31 home runs now with his first major league one under his belt. He set the Yard Goats single season record, broke Montero's record from last year. He had 22 and Michael hit his 23rd on the road in Reading against the Phillies affiliate. And next thing you know, he's off to AAA and absolutely killed it with the Isotopes. And, you know, he's just worked so hard at, you know, what he's accomplished this season. And it's just so gratifying, I think, to see someone like that go up and not only get a chance to get to the big leagues, but contribute. And I know he hit that first home run last night. He's played in his first 2 games. So he's, I think, someone that's going to be really, really good. He's got a lot of talent. He's a very good defensive first baseman. And as you saw the other night, he's someone that can play the outfield as well.
Yeah, for sure. Were you surprised with how quickly he moved from Yard Goat to Colorado Rocky?
I was, yeah. And I think only because he wasn't on the roster. The goal for most of the players that are eligible for the 40-man is to get on that roster, and he wasn't. I thought that was probably the only thing prohibiting him from going to the big leagues this season. I thought for sure next year, because he would have that chance to get on the roster. But I think it's a great move. I think a chance to go up there and let Bud Black see firsthand what he can do. I know he's seen him in spring training, but to see his work ethic and how he can impact a game with that bat. He got off to somewhat of a slow start with us. He was always hitting for power, but in terms of average. But I thought the last 2 months of the season, he cut down on the strikeouts. He was walking more. And then really the last 2 weeks at Hartford, he was smoking the ball. Even his outs were really hit hard.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you mentioned his kind of slow start. So when we spoke with him just right before he got called up, he was talking about how, you know, he's always had that potential for power, but he wasn't as consistent. So he's made some tweaks this season. So I guess that probably contributes to that rocky start. Yeah, what was that transition like over the course of this season?
Well, he's very similar to Aaron Judge in the fact that he's a guy that he's big, right? So he's got a lot of moving parts. And not to break down the mechanics of hitting, but he did have to make some adjustments. I mean, he's not this guy that is 6 foot that you can just kind of have that compact swing. He's got to get a lot of the things moving. He's got to make sure that he gets his foot down for that fastball so he doesn't miss it. And then also make sure that he stays back on the breaking stuff. And I know he's seeing a lot of breaking balls and changeups. His second tour of duty at AA. So I thought he made the transition nicely. He never got away from what he was trying to do. He never got down talking to our manager and our hitting coach. They were just so impressed that he took each at bat as, okay, let's try to get better and not, you know, sulk if you go 0 for 5 with 4 strikeouts, because that's what happens with a lot of power guys. And he wouldn't be afraid to go up and take a walk in a situation that maybe we needed a home run. But I just thought that he really matured, and it was just so good to see him get to that next level in AAA and then just continue the process and never get away with what the goal was to just continuing to improve. And now obviously he's done it. He's in the big leagues.
Yeah. That mental component too is just so crucially important. All right. So, you know, now we've seen, you know, Michael Tolia leave the Yard Goats. He mentioned that this was such a special group, that this Yard Goats team was a very special group to him. I mean, how is it now that we've seen some familiar faces move on? We've seen some new faces come in. What is the energy like in Hartford?
It's a good group. I mean, it's a really good group. I think you talk to the players and they say it's very similar to a college team. They've got that goat head that they went out and got. They stick it out there and they stick it looking towards the other dugout at the opponent. They love each other. If you hit a home run, you have to put the goat head on and run through the dugout and they pat you on the back. There's ice water showers during our post-game interviews on MILB television. So it's a really fun group. A lot of the players say it's the most fun they've had since college. It's really, they pull for each other, which is great to see. And the team's still in the playoff hunt. They just missed out in the playoffs in the first half, and they still got a chance in the second half. And, you know, we just got Zach Veen up from High A. He's the Rockies' number one prospect. He hit the game-winning home run the other night. It was a go-ahead shot in the seventh inning to lead the Goats to victory. So there's a very talented group, I think, in Hartford. And, you know, I think leading that way was Tolley, and he well-deserved that he's in the major leagues now. But let me tell Rocky fans, there's some talented guys on the way up for sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think a lot of Rockies fans are so excited about the prospects on their way up. And to hear that also they're having such a good time, it just makes me want to see them all playing together at the major league level even more.
Yeah, I've been doing this, as you know, Susie, for a long time. And I've always felt that, you know, and the goal is to get up to the next level. And it's more about development, we all know, than winning. But I've always felt that winning is part of development. And if you can learn how to win and be a good teammate at the minor league level, that down the road is going to lead to wins in Denver. And hopefully that is what we see down the road with the Colorado Rockies. These guys are learning how to go to battle each night and pull for each other. And, you know, those guys at some point in that core group is going to hopefully play at Coors Field. So that's what the hope is, that they can win a few games for the Ghosts, maybe get this Hartford club to the playoffs, and then down the road help Colorado maybe win the division out west.
Yeah. All right. Now we need to talk about, you mentioned a little bit about Zach Veen. I feel like there is just such a buzz around him. He is the Rockies' top prospect. Now he's in Double A. He's hitting your game-winning home runs. What's it like? What has it been like having him around?
Well, he's a baby. He's 20 years old, so he's just getting his feet wet at this level. It's a huge adjustment. If you talk to the players, the pitchers and the hitters, they'll always tell you the biggest transition in the minor leagues is going from high A to double A. And he hit the big home run the other night, which was great to see. But he's going through the adjustment period. He's not most of the time. I mean, everything is better. I mean, the pitching is better, the hitting's better, the defense is better. And he's hit some balls that were probably 2 weeks ago doubles in at high A. And all of a sudden, this great center fielder makes the catch, and you're out. So, but he's a special talent. We're excited this weekend. He's going against Andrew Painter, who's one of the top arms in minor league baseball. He's with Philadelphia, the Phillies organization, and they were back-to-back Gatorade players Gatorade Player of the Year in high school in Florida. Zach won it the first year, and Painter won it the second. So they'll be facing each other on Saturday. So that'll be a fun contest for both of those kids. But he's a special talent. Talking to our coaches, I mean, they think he's got the tools to be really special when he gets to the major leagues. But again, you hate to put that pressure on him. He's getting a lot of hype, obviously, being the Rockies' number one prospect, being their first pick a few years ago. So we're going to let him mature. I'm sure he's something that we'll see in Hartford to start next year. But yeah, he does have some of the things, Suze, that you just can't teach.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my gosh, 20 years old. He can't even go to Pig's Eye yet.
He cannot. That's right.
He can't even go yet. How is he, I guess, mentally, and like, I guess, how's his mentality right now as he's going through these adjustments? What have you noticed?
I think he's got a really good personality. He doesn't seem to get too high or too low. And I think that's key because, as you know, this is a game of failure. So you just have to, you can never get too high or too low. He's getting a lot of media attention. You know, we were on the road and, you know, some reporters want to talk to him right when he got called up, obviously, because of who he is. He's getting a lot of attention here with the media in Hartford. But he's having fun with it. It doesn't seem like he takes himself too serious, you know, but then once obviously the game starts, it's all about baseball for him. And he's got just blazing speed. I think he might be the fastest base runner I've seen since Byron Buxton played for this franchise back when he was in Double A, and this franchise was affiliated with the Twins. I mean, he does have some just unbelievable speed up the line. He stole 50 bases this year in A ball. Now, in Double A, they've shut the running down a little bit. He's realizing that it is a different adjustment. Pitchers' holds, they're better. They'll change their timing to go to first base. They'll deceive you a little bit. And the catchers, obviously, are better as well. So the base stealing is slowed down a little bit. You know, I don't think he's going to steal 50 bases, you know, in Hartford this year. But that being said, he's got great speed, and he's a really good base runner too. So again, it's a work in progress, and I think the ceiling for him is really, really high.
Nice. You know, the Rockies could use someone who steals a lot of bases because we are one of the lowest, I think, in all of baseball in terms of stolen bases. That is an energy that will be very welcome in Denver come that day. Yeah. So, I mean, what do you think, just totally hypothetical, what do you predict his timeline would be as he's going through this maturing, through developing at Double A, through making this adjustment? How soon do you think we could see him here in Colorado?
I really know. No, I didn't think, if you asked me about Toldy, I would say probably next year. So I'm bad to ask about the that's a cop out of your question, but I think he's got a, he's still got to grow a little bit. You know, mm-hmm. he's been here for 2 weeks, and he was, you know, he spent most of the season at High A. So, I mean, my guess is, you know, from what I've seen in the past, he's probably someone that will start at Double A next year, and you see how he gets off. If he gets off to a good start and then continues to have a good season like Michael Tolia did this year, then there's a chance he goes to Triple A, and then you just never know. If there's a need at the, you know, and then the other thing you throw in is the injury. I mean, obviously you hope that the Rockies can stay healthy, but during the course of the season, there could be a need be at a position. And, you know, I think if a major league team feels that best guy is in Double A, hey, let's bring him up, even if it's for a short term. That guy doesn't always have to be in Triple A. I mean, sometime that guy is in Double A. So I think once you get to the upper levels of the minor leagues, you are a phone call away and you just need to be major league ready. So when that is, I'm really not sure. I mean, again, I've seen him for 2 weeks. I like what I see, but he's going to need to continue to work.
You know what Zach Veen does have? He already has some major league swag because he went viral during the Futures game for his cleats. What kind of swag is he bringing to Hartford right now?
Yeah, I saw those cleats in the first game and I said, oh boy, bright yellow. I said, I'm going to have a little talk with him. And he wore them like the first three games of the season. I don't think he's broken them out though at home. So I was just about to say something to him and then I didn't. But talking to some of the younger kids are like, oh, I asked my son about it. He goes, oh no, Dad, those are real cool. So I guess I'm not cool maybe. I don't know. But yeah, he's got some, he's got a mustache going on right now. He wears the headband. He said, that's the cool thing. And he's a fun guy to be around. I mean, I think he's someone that'll be, for Rocky fans, they'll be real easy to root for sure.
Oh, I love to hear that. Any cool promotions coming up in Hartford? Anything interesting? Any good bobblehead giveaways? Give me the tea.
We had the Mike Golic Jr. bobblehead doll the other day, so that was fun. Hat night, the winter cap night was the other night. And then we have a post-game concert coming up on Friday. Rob Bass, It Takes Two. Yeah.
Yes!
You might have to fly in for that one, Susie. So there's always something going on. And I'm sure with the Yankee affiliate Somerset coming in next week, we'll have action-packed promotions as well. So we miss you dearly, though. Hopefully you get a chance to go back to Hartford at some point.
Oh, I know. I miss Hartford so much. So I'm just glad that we got to do this catch-up session here on my podcast.
Always enjoy talking with you.
All right, Jeff Dooley, voice of the Yard Goats, thank you so much for joining us. Have a good one.
All right, thanks for having me.
I always love talking to Jeff Dooley, and I always love talking about Zach Veen. I want to see that swag up here in Colorado soon.
Veen season.
Veen season. Let's go. Kayla's on the Zach Veen hype train, and we love to see it. All right, we're going to get into some headlines around baseball, but first, we've got to shout out our amazing sponsors. But first, we're going to talk about us, because listen up, fam. It is football season. Most importantly, it's tailgate season. And if you're not a member already, you are missing out on price breaks for Broncos tailgates and now the Nuggets party bus, the annual membership that comes with a free shirt from dnvrlocker.com. You get a member-sized beer at the DNVR bar, which is reopening so freaking soon. You get extra raffle tickets at all of the watch parties to win free gear. And we've got literally the best gear I've ever seen. And all access to our members-only Discord. So you don't have to worry about politics or jerks. You can just chat with everyone about your favorite sports in our lovely community. If you're not a member yet, don't fret. It's only 50 cents for your first month at thednvr.com. And listen, we can't move on without talking about Lightshade. We have to tell you about the relief and recovery creams from Escape Artists. It's the highest awarded topical brand in Colorado that prioritizes quality and consistency. Escape Artists produces these creams to help penetrate deep muscle tissue discomfort, and it's fast absorbing. Plus, they aren't greasy and they aren't going to stain your clothes or your sheets. And the best part, you can find them at your local Lightshade dispensary. There are 11 in the Denver metro area. Lightshade has a premier selection of cannabis concentrates, top shelf flower, edibles, tinctures, accessories, and more. And now podcast listeners get 25% off non-sale items with code DNVR. You can shop online at lightshade.com or pick up at a light shade location near you. The closest one to here at the bar, 6th Ave. It's only 8 minutes away from here. They've got great stuff. And listen, if you're watching us on Avoca TV, thank you. And if you're not, you need to hop on the train. Listen, the only issue with the Nuggets and the Avs right now is that you can't watch them at home. But guess what? That has all changed with Avoca TV. You can watch the Nuggets, the Avs, and more. You can get other Colorado teams you love, like the Rapids, Mammoth, coverage of CSU Rams, Denver Pioneers, and, of course, they've got our Colorado Rockies all in one place. The service is now available up and down the Rocky Mountain region, so in Denver, Colorado Springs, Phoenix, Boise, Twin Falls, Idaho. Twin Falls is in Idaho. Why did I say it like that? But yeah, the bottom line is Avoca TV has altitude sports. All you have to do is go to avoca.tv/Colorado or avoca.tv/DNVR. There are zero hidden fees or contracts. It's just $25 a month plus the receiver. Plus, the price is locked in for 2 years. Never worry again with Avoca TV and enjoy Nuggets and Avs once again. Oh, wait. There's one more thing. Use code COLORADO10 for $10 off the first 3 months. So now only $15 per month to start. There's no contracts, no catches. Avoca TV is made for the champions of the remote. Kale, are you a champion of the remote?
A champion of the remote.
You were the champion of that soundboard too.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for making us sound good. All right. Listen, we've got some baseball headlines to get to. It's time for some Sue's news. And we've got news music to go with it to set the tone. So Chicago White Sox manager Tony La Russa is out indefinitely right now with an unknown or unspecified, rather, medical issue. He's 77 years old, okay? So he is right now in Arizona undergoing some medical tests. He missed Tuesday night's game there against the Kansas City Royals after being there for pregame, and then within an hour of first pitch, he was advised by doctors to not manage the game. So Miguel Cairo will continue to manage in the meantime. But yeah, it's been kind of a rough season for the White Sox, not quite living up to the potential that people had for them heading into this season. And even on Friday, the fans at home made that very clear. So when Chicago lost 7-2 to the Diamondbacks, it was the team's fourth loss in their last five games. They got booed. That's some Philly stuff right there. That's not Chicago stuff. So yeah, they got booed by their own home fans. I do wonder. I hope the stress isn't getting to Tony La Russa.
It probably is.
You have to wonder. He's up there. He's fallen asleep during games. I am highly concerned about Tony La Russa.
Highly concerned. I mean, you should be. The dude looks his age, to say the least.
He does. All right. Thoughts and prayers, Tony La Russa. And to our CHGO White Sox fam, for sure. Please keep us updated. Really cool news. Otani did something new in Major League Baseball that's never been done before. He is the first player in Major League history to hit 30 home runs and record 10 pitching wins in the same season. So once again, we are witnessing a once-in-a-lifetime player. And of course, he has to be on the Angels where it is nothing matters, truly. More records. Albert Pujols broke a record. He is just having such a fantastic end to his career right now. Such a fantastic final season. So he broke a major league record on Monday. He homered off of his 450th new pitcher. So he's homered off of 450 different pitchers. That one was off of Cincinnati lefty Ross Detweiler. So, yeah, that's also 694 home runs. He is closing in on that 700 home run milestone. That's also something we're not going to see for a long time. Like, maybe Juan Soto because he's so young, but we're not going to see that for a very long time.
So we should be, like, soaking this in while we can.
Soak it in while we can because this is once-in-a-lifetime stuff. This is what a time to be a baseball fan.
What a time to be a baseball fan. But every time is a great time to be a baseball fan.
It's going to be, imagine how great it's going to be once it's Veensies.
Vean C's.
And then another note, Adidas dropped Fernando Tatis Jr. as a partner. They told ESPN that they had a whole statement. Sports should be fair, and they have a clear doping policy. And since Tatis Jr. broke that, they will not be working with him moving forward. So that is, those are some headlines. Another really cool headline, the DNVR bar is opening really soon. We got to hang out on Thursday night and try all the new menu items. Literally so good. But also, it was so good to see all the Nuggets guys again now that they're finally back from Serbia.
We are back from Serbia.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
And Kale was also there, of course, and he took some incredible pictures. And I want to see them, and I want to talk to you about them. I want to hear some stuff about your trip.
Yeah, where do you want me to start?
I don't know.
So the trip was just incredible. We really, like, the overarching takeaway for me is just how hospitable the people there are. Mm-hmm. I mean, the hospitality was unlike anything I've ever experienced. I mean, it really felt like we became minor celebrities or whatever
you guys were call it. Major celebrities in
yeah,
Serbia.
it was crazy. I'll start with one of my pictures, just because, like, that's like the whole point of the trip. We were out there was learning about the game of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So this picture I called the beautiful game, and this is this is down near where they have a memorial sort of statue next to where both Red Star and Partizan, two of the club sports clubs there. Mm-hmm. And it's nestled in the fortress that's in the middle of the city.
Oh.
So it's like the most picturesque, beautiful place you could ever have a pickup game of basketball. So I took that picture there.
Nice. These are gorgeous.
I took this picture right at the elementary school where Jokic went. So this is a giant Jokic mural.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible.
Yeah, this is a giant Jokic mural, and then, like, this is the basketball court that's by the mural where he was playing his first hoops.
Oh, stop it.
I know, isn't that cool?
This is the origin story right here.
And then, finally, I have this picture, which I called a love letter to Belgrade, just because I had the best week, one of the best weeks of my life, and I miss it already. Oh. And this picture actually went viral on Serbian Twitter, which was pretty rad.
I mean, this is a gorgeous picture. This is also giving me, like, San Francisco vibes with the trolley rail, the hills. This is gorgeous.
Belgrade gives off some San Francisco vibes while you're there. Similar size cities, a little bit smaller, actually, but very hilly, and everything goes down to two rivers. So it's like a very, I don't know, it's a beautiful place. We had a beautiful time, and I apologize that my words are a little bit jumbled because I'm not usually on podcasts.
I wanted you to have a space to talk about your trip, even though it's Nuggets trip.
It was like such an amazing trip just because of the people we got to meet. Everybody there was so kind to us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we went to this meal at this place called Ambar, and we were there for like 5.5 hours, and they just kept bringing us food and kept bringing us food and kept bringing us food.
Oh.
And rakia, and we were trying all these different things, and then we had to leave early actually to get to one of our meetups, and it was crazy. They wouldn't let us pay at the end of the night. Like, it was just like the hospitality was unreal. We learned so much about history and how the Balkan area is sort of like the cradle of basketball culture in Europe.
Hmm.
Some people might disagree with that, but from what we learned and just the history, how rich the basketball history in that country is and just the sports culture that exists there in general, and why some of the top athletes in the world come out of this tiny little country.
Mm-hmm.
By comparison to the superpowers, right? So, like, way disproportionate. I mean, they've got one of the top tennis players and top basketball players in the world coming out of this country right now.
A tiny country.
I don't know how many people there are, but the Belgrade area is only like 2.5 million people, so it's kind of like the size of Denver ish.
Yeah.
And it's just like, imagine like if half of the elite athletes from the United States just came from the Denver metro area.
Like, it would be like that.
It'd be really wild. So it was really cool. We had a great experience, and I hope everybody else at DNVR gets a chance, you know, at some point in their career here to go cover an event like that Greece Serbia game that we got to cover and go to and experience the culture around it for a week. So that's, I'll let that be my two cents.
Yeah, we're, I mean, Patrick and I are now pushing for a Venezuela trip.
love that. Would love to see it.
We would do well there. So I'm, thank you for sharing these stories. It was great seeing y'all at the bar last night. You guys also got to meet my dad. My dad is in town.
We did get to meet your dad.
My dad is in town. My dad decided to pop out here at the last minute. So I brought him to the bar. I'm glad you and Riley got to see my favorite game that I play with my dad, where I give him a $20 bill and he trades me for a $50 bill.
What a great game.
It was a great game.
It seems better for you than for your dad.
I always win.
I appreciate it.
It's a very good game. It's very creative too. But yeah, having my dad in town has been super fun. He's gotten to see, you know, what we do here, because obviously I have to bring him to work with me. But the other thing is, so my dad is from Poland, didn't move here until he was 13 years old. So had very limited knowledge of baseball until he got here. But then when he did get here, he absolutely fell in love with it. So I interviewed my dad. Everyone should interview their parents at least once, but I talked to my dad about his baseball origin story. So, Kale, let's roll it.
All right, so I want to talk to you about baseball because you came to America from another country and you came from Poland. Baseball wasn't really a thing over there, but you were telling me a story the other day, or you were telling me yesterday, about how you played baseball, kind of. In your elementary school.
Way different version. Not really sure if they had any idea what baseball really was. But we had a bat and a tennis ball.
You played so with a tennis ball?
That's what, yeah, they we used the tennis. But, you know, this was like fourth grade or something, yeah, so.
Yeah. So, wait, when you got to America and you saw like real baseball, I mean, what did you think? What were your impressions of it?
Oh, I just fell in love with it. And, you know, first time we go up and they show me how to hold a bat and swing, and I started hitting. And they were like, what are you doing? How are you hitting it? You never played baseball. And you just do your thing, you know. I just loved it ever since. And, I studied all the statistics and, you know, every day, you know, just reading the paper back then. You know, you're just reading the paper.
We don't do that anymore.
But that definitely a lot of studying, and it was just involved. You know, thought I was going to bring baseball back to Poland. You know, just bring back, you know, few hundred gloves and get team, you know, kids playing. You know, and it never happened. Actually, then you grow up, get married, have kids, and then you teaching them how to play baseball.
Yeah. You told me at one point sometime that when you were younger, you would like draw up plans for baseball fields, you know. Yeah,
that's what I was saying. Yeah, I thought I was going to bring baseball back to Poland and, you know, bring a few hundred gloves and get a few bunch of kids and, you know, draw how you're going to have like a smaller scale stadium. That's what I did. I really thought when I grew up, that's what I was gonna do, and slowly, like I said, life took.
Things changed.
It's tall.
Yeah.
No.
Oh my God.
No, it was great. I can't complain about, you know, my direction that life took, but yeah, you gotta be pliable. You can adjust to what life gives you. You know, sometimes even lemons can be good, right? That's where lemonade came from. And
are you calling your three daughters a bunch of lemons?
No, they were the oranges and the avocados.
The good fruits. So who were the big players when you got here that you first were a fan of?
Lisinski, Schmidt, Carlton, Steve Carlton. Oh, you gotta love Steve Carlton. I mean, he's such a great pitcher, and that's, you know, the character. I think it was a lot of it. You know, these players had such a solid character; they weren't fazed by the media so much. I think it's coming back slowly. We kind of maybe eliminated some of the, you know, the Deons. You know, not that Deion was that bad, but yeah, there's sometimes a little, you know, too much of a spotlight hog.
Oh, okay. Do you remember when we saw Greg Luzinski at Citizens Bank Park and we didn't recognize him for like a solid 2 minutes?
Yeah, that was pretty good. Yeah, I was a little surprised. I thought you would be more warm, and yeah, he was just probably saw a few thousand fans already, so it was probably just like, there goes another, you know, old man that, you know, oh, you're my hero.
I mean, he probably would have been a little warmer if we didn't just ask him where the vegan cheesesteak was.
I don't remember that, about the vegan cheesesteak.
No. Yeah, that was what happened. So we were looking for the vegan cheesesteak. He was sitting in that booth next to his barbecue stand. So it looks like he's just a guy who knows where places are. And he is. But he's also Craig Luzinski.
It was still nice to see him at his little stand, you know.
Yeah.
And by finally meeting your hero.
Yeah.
Yeah, but just baseball, you know, when you're at that age, it's, you know, everybody's, you know, there's a lot of guys that you admired, you know, and Phillies players are just some of them. The Pittsburgh Pirates were also, you know, a great team, and mm-hmm. you know, loved the, you know, the Willie Stargells and Ed Ott and the Mel Ott. Actually got a foul ball from one of them.
You know, oh.
I think it was Ed. Mm-hmm. Ed Ott, who was the catcher for...
In Philly at the Vet?
I was sitting upper deck, right behind first row upper deck, right behind home plate, and here it comes. And that ball has a lot of spin when it comes at you.
I know you've mentioned a couple of times you're very pro net.
Well, yeah, it's you just see so many people just not paying attention and getting hurt. I mean, when you girls came to the game, there's several times where the balls came, you know, within like 3-4 feet of our heads, and you know, and nobody pays attention. So yeah, I'm glad to see that they do something, and that's, you know, it's a perfect solution actually.
Yeah, you always bring a glove to the game though, and you're going to the Rockies game on Monday. I don't know where you're sitting yet, but are you going to bring a glove and try to catch stuff?
Oh yes. I'm gonna, even if, you know, if I have to step on somebody's shoulder, you know, to get up a little higher, you know.
Now, if you caught one and a kid was right next to you, what would you do with the ball?
I'd give it to the kid. It's all about the kids, you know, yeah.
But you would probably run over a kid to get the ball, right?
It's possible. I would make him work for it, you know.
All right, well, Dad, Andrew, thank you for joining me. Thank you for letting me ask you questions.
Well, thank you for having me, Susie.
I gave him literally no notice that I was going to interview him. I was just like, all right, come on, let's go outside. I'm going to ask you some questions. So he's very caught off guard, but it was so great to talk to him. I'm glad I could show off his hybrid Philly Poland accent to all of you guys. But before we get into looking forward to this upcoming Red Series, we got to shout out the American Raptors. This rugby club is composed of crossover athletes, and they just ended their first season 5-5, which is pretty great for former athletes coming together for the first time and putting their skills to the test. Now, if you haven't heard of the American Raptors, they are Rugbytown USA's newest rugby team. The American Raptors are athletes who have competed at the highest level of their respective sports, coming from backgrounds in football, basketball, baseball, wrestling, soccer, track and field. So these guys possess all of the necessary skills to excel at the game of rugby. So what's the best thing about hitting up an American Raptors game? They're completely free. You heard that right, free. So head over to AmericanRaptors.com and grab your free ticket for the upcoming season. And if you can't make it to a game, AmericanRaptors.com will be streaming all of them from their website, so check it out. And what's even better, our guy Colton Strickler has it all covered for you on the weekly DNVR Rugby podcast, so hit that subscribe button. If you didn't get a ticket and you want... If you didn't get the ticket you wanted, rather, as an elite athlete, check out the opportunities at Infinity Park. Rugby may just be your next ride. So follow him and our DNVR Rugby account to keep up on all the latest news. Learn rugby with Colton's 101 Rugby podcasts, exclusive interviews with athletes and coaches, and provides betting advice for Super Rugby that starts at the end of February. So you can get all of that and more at AmericanRaptors.com. Sounds incredible. All right, so the Rockies have arrived in Cincinnati. So this series coming up. The Rockies are heading into this series 56-76. The Reds are 51-78. So we'll see what this matchup looks like. From Friday's game, we've got Kyle Freeland versus righty Luis Sessa. That game starts at 4:40 Mountain Time. So in just a couple of hours, Saturday, we are slated to see Herman Marquez versus lefty Nick Lodolo. And Sunday, Jose Urania versus Chase Anderson. Joey Votto will also be in the Reds booth on Valley Sports Cincinnati. He was in there last night, too. He'll be back for more. He's been on the IL, so he's just been doing a lot of appearances. He's been doing a lot of interviews. He is just the go-to personality, and I love to see that. Kale, are you a Joey Votto guy?
Don't even know who it is.
Well, we're going to change that for next week. Next time we do a Susie show, you will know all about Joey Votto. I think you would love him.
Okay. Note taken.
Note taken. I love it. All right, guys, we will be back on Sunday. Both me and Patrick will have a live post-game show. We'll break down the whole Red series. We'll see how it goes. But until then, you can follow us at DNVR_Rockies on Twitter. You can follow Kale at...
I'm at Kale Sorbo. The Kale's with two L's.
Two L's. I am at The Susie Hunter on all platforms. And guys, this has been so fun. Thanks for joining me for this very special Susie show. But you know what they say about closing shows?
Momentum.
Someone says something about momentum. I don't know anything about closing a show. But anyway, we will see you again on Sunday.